Welcome, everyone, to another guest episode of the Health Uncovered podcast. Today, we are having a conversation with Henry, who has been practicing and teaching structural integration since 1995. Since then, he's helped thousands of clients and trained hundreds of students around the world. He has a PhD in civil and structural engineering from UC Berkeley and was also a nationally ranked Tai Chi athlete, winning multiple gold awards in national and international Chinese martial arts competitions. His work combines scientific knowledge with embodied practice to guide clients to a greater well-being and self-actualization. Today, you guys, we are going to have such a great conversation. We're going to talk about everything from what is Rolfing or structural integration, who benefits from this work? What does it actually mean? We're going to dive deeper into the fascial layers of the body, how just emotionally and connecting to your body, how impactful this work can be. So if you're someone who is looking to elevate, just your body is already in an optimal state and you want to keep it that way, and you're looking for something to add to your wellness routine, this could be great for you. Also, if you are someone who is stuck and you've seen provider after provider and nothing has helped, I highly recommend tuning in and seeing what structural integration potentially could do for you. Okay, here we go. Welcome to the Health Uncovered podcast, your go-to podcast for all things health, healing, and what to do next on your health journey. I'm your host, Mercedes Cook, a doctor of chiropractic and a diplomate in chiropractic cranial cervical junction procedures. Each week, my guests and I will be uncovering treatment options and health tips to help you get to the root cause of your health issues. If you're tired of seeing doctor after doctor with no answers, then the show is for you. You'll learn all kinds of healthcare options that you may have not known existed that will help you move forward on your healing journey more confident than ever. I invite you to stay open and curious. All right, let's get into today's episode. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another guest episode of the Health Uncovered podcast. I'm so excited because today we have a guest named Henry, and he is a structural integration practitioner and teacher, along with having a PhD in civil and structural engineering. And so I'm really excited to have this conversation with him because I think that the structural integration work is so important and I want more people to know about it. So Henry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mercedes. Happy to be here.
So Henry, can you just start with telling our listeners a brief kind of intro as to what structural integration does and how do people benefit from this work?
Okay. Rolfing and structural integration, classically speaking, is a 10-session process that people undergo to basically develop a new relationship, not just to their bodies, but to gravity itself. Work focuses on treating directly the fascial system of the body and basically helps balance the fascia around the joints so that the bones can move more freely and one can stand upright more easily. And that's roughly what it is. But, you know, ultimately, it's generally speaking, it's more than that because it is about treating the whole person. It's not just about the body per se. And a lot happens for people inside of that process. You know, a lot can change for people in their lives as the body opens up and traumas are released. And there's, in some sense, more clarity gained or learning about who they are, not just as a person, but how to simply physically how to move. So a lot can change for someone inside of that process. And that's, classically speaking, that's what Rolfing is about. I use the word Rolfing sometimes. I'm also technically a Rolfer, not just someone who practices structural integration. They are the same thing.
Okay, that's great to know. Now, I get this question a lot when I refer people over to you. They are wondering, how is this different than like getting a deep tissue massage or like seeing a massage therapist versus seeing someone who does Rolfing or structural integration? Could you kind of paint us a picture of why they're different?
Oh, yeah. So structural integration is based upon a theory of the body, how the body functions in space. It's derived in large part from, I think, three main things. And that is first that, you know, our bodies evolved in gravity, and learning how to negotiate with gravity is one of our primary structural challenges. Number two, the body is composed, the primary structural material of the body is fascia. And so we treat the fascia directly with much less attention to how the muscles are functioning. I don't know if I'll go into more on that later, because I specifically work a little bit differently than that, like the muscles and the neurology associated with the muscles in order to work with the structure overall. And three, that the work is holistic. That is, like, the vision of the structure of the body is about relationships. It's not about specific mechanisms, though they do play a part. Overall, releasing the body upright into an upright position in space. And so there's, like, a deep tissue massage is generally, I feel pain here and I get touched here. And Rolfing or structural integration has a whole process that is going on that is based on opening up the structure of the body, reorganizing the structure of the body, and then helping to integrate basically the core and the sleeve of the body in movement. And so it is fundamentally different in that the focus is on goals, not on pain, not on, like, changing pain in the body per se.
Yes. Okay. That's really helpful, because I think that's something a lot of people want to know. And I think one thing that made me really interested in the work that you do is what you mentioned, and maybe you could describe to us in a little bit more detail, like the 10 session series, because it's not about, like, oh, I mean, people I'm sure do come to you and they're like, I have shoulder pain or I have back pain or whatever it is. And that's great. But I'm pretty sure you guys have kind of a method to assess the posture and maybe work on areas where it's more of like a root cause approach versus like, hey, let's just go work on your lower back. Well, your lower back pain can be there for a lot of reasons. It might be because the fascia in your feet are tight. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. But I feel like you guys kind of take, like you said, it's more of like a holistic approach. It's not just like targeting where something is. You guys work through all of these different layers. And so with the 10 session series, and specifically how you do it, what does that look like?
Okay, yeah. How does the 10 session series work? One of the things that I found so interesting about learning structural integration when I was learning it is that the 10 session series has a number of different kind of patterns and spaces inside it that relate to unlocking the structural system of the body into a free and more open state. I like to, when I was recently doing a training and with people who just didn't really have a lot of background in bodywork. And so I was confronted with, how do I explain this to people? And one of the images that I like to use is one of those Japanese puzzle boxes where, like, to get something over here to open, sometimes something over here has to open first. And that is in large part, you know, it's a metaphor for what it is that I'm doing with the body. So roughly the 10 session series is like the first three series are about working with the sleeve of the body to get that sleeve to start to open. When I say sleeve, I'm talking about the outer musculature, what is technically referred to as the first deep fascial layer. It's right under the superficial fascia. It's like if you were to skin a rabbit, that silvery layer that you see surrounding all the muscles is what I'm talking about when I say the sleeve. And so the first three sessions are about that. The middle set of the series, 4 through 7, are about working with what we call the core structures of the body. And that's more like the deep lines that run up the leg from the feet through the groin, up the front of the spine, front of the neck, up into the head and jaw. And the integration sessions, which are the latter part of the series in the classical 10 model, other people have produced series that have more like 12 sessions in them nowadays to work with some integration steps along the way, is about basically bringing the sleeve and the core into relationship such that the body is moving in an integrated manner. And, you know, at least in my practice, one of my major goals on the physical plane is to help people move freely and with ease so that movement becomes light and effortless. And the weight is transmitted not just by muscular tension, but through the bones and by releasing into the fascial net that is responsible for basically holding a lot of the energy of movement and then releasing it back into movement.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that's a beautiful way to explain it, because after I've had a session with you, like, the best way I can describe it, especially I didn't have any pain or I didn't necessarily have an injury, but like after a structural integration session, like, you literally, like you said, movement feels effortless. You feel like you're just sort of like floating as you're walking, like nothing is tight, nothing's tense, nothing is like bound up. And that's exactly what it feels like, which is so cool. I would love for you to kind of give us some examples. Well, one, why do people come to you typically? Is it because they want better posture? Is it just because pain? Like, why do people typically come? And then what do they see after doing the 10 session series?
So I think people tend to come from a number of different sort of zones, places. Like some people, and I'd say probably the largest group of people, find me because they are in pain and they haven't been able to figure out a way to deal with it yet. And, you know, they may have seen a number of different kinds of people. Like, these people have heard from orthopedists that they're going to have a surgery. They're in pain. They've probably seen a number of different people, and they are just looking for a way to find a way to get out of the pain. And a lot of people like that come to me. I don't always do the 10 sessions with those people. I might focus more on what I call structural body work, where I look at a specific issue, look at where, you know, I'm really clear with them. Like, I think structurally about the body, and I want to see if there's any way that I can, you know, a lot of these back pains are due to basically like poor use of the structure of the body, like an uneducated person. I don't mean physically, somatically, structurally uneducated person is coming to me saying, you know, why can't I just, in my mind, I see them saying, why can't I just turn my pelvis under and take some of the tension out of my lower back? And I'm like, well, you can. It's just will require a little bit of effort. And here's how we do it. You know, it's really straightforward to me. I'm like, oh, I know how to do this. So, okay. So you have some people coming from that zone, like they're in pain. They want help getting out of it. And I like working with people like that because it's really rewarding when they're like, oh my God, I feel so much better. I thank you so much. You know, it's super rewarding. There's people who come to me around performance, like athletes, dancers, people who want basically to be better at what it is that they're doing physically. They're already at a high level. And I, of course, love working with these. It's not just athletes and dancers, like people like who are, you know, military people, special forces people come to me wanting to figure out how to, you know, basically operate better in their bodies. And it's fun working with those people too, because, you know, they're already very in their bodies. That's a big part of what I'm doing with a lot of people, is helping them develop a better relationship with being in their body, like listening to what the body's saying. it's speaking. They may not know how to hear it. So working with those people's a lot of fun. Then I get people coming basically around exactly what I was just saying. They're wanting to develop a better sense of themselves. I would call this sort of like the psychological space. Both of my longtime mentors were actually psychologists, and the people who taught me Rolfing were psychologists. That's how they entered it as well. And so you get some people coming along from those lines, like wanting to understand basically themselves better through understanding their bodies, knowing that that's a part or a piece of the puzzle. And in fact, there's a lot that gets held in the body that I've worked with people around releasing. And it's not just, you know, I don't treat the body like a machine. There are certainly some mechanisms in the body, but it is, you know, there's some body there. And it's really rewarding to work with these people too. I mean, obviously, I find it rewarding to work with anyone, really, just because I really enjoy the process of that kind of uncovering as well. Like the relationship to the body is what, in our field, we tend to call that like the somatic viewpoint, a somatic approach to doing body work.
Well, this kind of brings me into, I've been wondering, we've talked about this a little bit before, but with your background in, you know, you having a PhD in civil and structural engineering, that to me seems very like mechanistic, but your work, like you just mentioned, is not so much that way. So how do you feel like your education background and then the body work that you do now, does it make you understand what you do more now? Do they conflict with each other? Like, how do those two come together?
Absolutely. It helped me understand what I do, because the body, you know, while I don't look to the body as an object, it is certainly an object in space. And beyond that, like evolutionarily speaking, there's just so many mechanisms that evolved as a part of our, like, you know, the elegance of our functioning in space, like the feet, the head, like you work with C1 and C2. What an amazing mechanism. Like it's a mechanism. You know what I'm saying? There is a mechanism in there, and it yields a lot of flexibility and possibilities for us. So yeah, I mean, my training in engineering, specifically, I got into it because I'm so interested in structures. I did Rolfing before I got involved with that. And it was my interest in structures that kind of drove me forward to want to learn more, to understand a clearer language to discuss the structure of the body in. And so from the mechanics of materials to studies in continuum mechanics, like just the fundamental dynamics of the body in space, like it has really opened up what I think of as my possibilities for how I work with people, because I can see a lot more clearly now than I used to around what the structure of the body is and how it functions.
Did that help you in a way, learn more about what is capable of the work, or like how you can release or change fascia, and how, because you brought up neurology too, and how working with the fascia affects our neurology. Is that something that was kind of, you became more aware of because of the engineering background?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it was, let me put it like this. The background in engineering has given me ways of seeing that I don't think are very common to other body workers. Like, for example, I look at the structure of the body as having two primary subcomponents, like the active component of the structural system, which would be the muscles and the neurology, the, you know, the reflex system that goes into the spinal cord and all the way up into the brain. And then there's the passive part of the structural system, the passive component being the fascia and the bones. Now, primarily people who do structural integration think about the passive structural system. But, you know, through the work that I've done over time, I used to do a lot of martial arts competition. And so I've done a lot of physical training in my past. And I know very well that like how we use the muscles and the awareness of the body has a huge part of the success of our work. Specifically, if I'm thinking about balancing structures, the joints, you know, if I'm balancing around a joint, I need to have the active part of the structural system engaged in some way. It can't just be me grinding on soft tissue. I have to get some movement, some activation, some awareness. And so, yeah, that just as an example of like how seeing with eyes that come from, you know, having worked on engineering projects, having worked in engineering, it's allowed me to kind of expand my view of what the structural body is, definitely. And, you know, the materials, like the fascia as a material, is largely collagen. It deforms in a very specific way. And just having worked with a lot of different materials in my past, I have a way of like really understanding how, you know, that's what structural engineering is about. It's about how forces deform materials over time. That is largely what we're doing, structural integration. We're asking for a specific helpful kind of deformation.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that kind of made me think of something, because over time, like as we age, obviously we lose some collagen. So what happens to our fascia as we age?
Largely, it desiccates. It gets a little bit drier. And when it becomes drier, it becomes more brittle. It becomes easier to break rather than stretch, as it were. And as you know, it tends to wear down over time. You see this, like, just think about the spine. The discs in between there are collagenous structures. And they wear over time. Like there's what we call in engineering a fatigue life, you know, which is basically if you stretch and release and stretch and release over and over and over and over, like you eventually reach a point of fatigue where things just break simply because they've reached a limit of how many times they can cycle. So I've actually worked with many, 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 many older clients. And when I say older, I mean, you know, 60 and up, who have received a great benefit from working with structural integration, because even though the fascia is much tougher, if you can really help allow them learn to channel the forces of their body weight through the bones, they wear a lot less quickly. In some sense, like you're helping to extend their useful life.
Yeah, sure. That's great. Henry, what you said that you were doing Rolfing before pursuing the engineering background. So what made you want to start doing Rolfing? Did you have your own personal experience, or how did you find out about it?
Yeah. How much time do we have here? I had, I think, probably a different entrance than a number of people. I dropped out of college the first time I went to college. I was studying literature. I realized that as much as I loved reading books, there was no way I intended to make a profession out of reading books. So I just did a lot of wandering. I hitchhiked around. I hopped a lot of freight trains. I walked through Mexico. When I was down in Belize, having reached there at the end of Mexico, I found a bush doctor down there who took me on and just kind of let me follow him around. And I was really young and impressionable at this time. And so he just took me around the area of Belize for a while and taught me a lot of things about what he did, you know, like from working with plants to working with people. And I eventually wandered back from that and realized that I didn't have much contact with, you know, my physical person. I got really into exercise. I spent most of my days like doing thousands of push-ups, hundreds of pull-ups, riding my bike or running or swimming for hours. And I eventually reached a point where I was like, I'm got to learn more about this than just running around. And I figured a good way to do that and still travel would be to learn some way of doing body work, because I'd seen some people just throwing out a shingle while I was traveling around who actually were like doing body work in the strangest places, and they were actually making some money doing it. So I was like, okay, I should probably know how to do that. That's when I met Ed. I went to a school. I met a guy named Dr. Edward Maupin, and he and I just got on famously, and he was a very well-known Rolfer, and he trained me for years.
Awesome. Wow.
So kind of stumbled into it. Really, I didn't tend to approach doing this as a profession as much as about learning about myself, but it's always been a calling for me. Like, I don't even think of it as a profession now. It's something I was called to, something I on some level asked for and somehow arrived in my life.
I love that. So can I just ask what you kind of went into this for your own self-discovery, and what did you find? What did you learn?
Well, that's ongoing. The major thing that I learned was about the sense of like who I am as a being is so closely tied to who I am as a body, and that I get, there's a lot of information coming through the body. And I have spent a lot of my life really learning how to listen to that and how to follow it. That's, I think, the largest part of what I really gained from that. But I've also been, you know, the body is one of the places that I think you can really engage the question of what is freedom. You know, there's a way to find freedom in the body, even if, for example, I were living in under otherwise pretty extreme constraints. There's ways to find that sense of space inside. And that was always, I guess, a major part of my early life was about that project, trying to figure out how to be free.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love that. Now, if someone's listening and they are like, wow, I should really give structural integration a try, can you walk them through, like, what does the process look like to work with you? Do you do some sort of consult or seeing if someone's the right fit first? Do you have them come into your office and you do an assessment? Like, can you just kind of paint a picture of what it looks like to see you as a provider?
Yeah. I mean, well, usually, yeah, people either call me or set up with me, and on my website, they will find my number and you can set up to come in there. And I do a phone consult first. Before someone just walks into my office, I want to get a sense of who they are and what they're coming for. And in general, I try to find out, like, what is the hook? Like, what is it that they're really coming for? Like, what's their intentions? And that's what I try to honor and focus on in the work with people. And so when they come in, then of course, there's an intake form, but I'll usually sit with them for a good 15 to 30 minutes and really like to sort of get a sense of where they're coming from and what it is really that they're looking for. And all the while, I get a chance to really take a good look at who they are in their body. As far as like moving beyond that, like in Rolfing, the classic move is the visual diagnosis. Like, you will have someone stand and you'll take a look at them from all four sides. I often include walking with that. I will go for a walk with someone briefly just to get a sense of how they're moving, not just standing. I figure out, like, you know, are they coming for structural body work? Do they really want to do the 10 sessions? Like, so from there, I get a sense of like how to move forward with them.
Yes. So there you kind of figure out, would this person benefit, or do they want to do the 10 series? Do they want to just focus on one thing? That's kind of how you determine what to do going forward.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. And I love asking every provider these two questions. So I want to ask you, what is the best part of your work and what you do?
There's a lot in that. For example, I still go and spend time with my mentor. He actually lives pretty nearby to me. He's old now. He doesn't practice, but he's still very dear to me. And so I go and spend time with him. And through that, I'm aware that I'm not just doing this for myself. I'm carrying something forward. Ed worked directly with Ida Rolf extensively. He was the first like Rolfer at Esalen. And so there's something that I know that I am carrying forward. And that's not just Ed's work. It's not just Ed's point of view. It's like what Ida Rolf was doing. It's something that she believed very much in, that she was working with human potential. And I feel that I'm doing the same thing. And I really feel like that is the best part of what I do. It's not like fixing things that hurt. Basically, I see myself as an educator, as helping people uncover the things that they're looking for inside themselves. And, you know, I've been doing this long enough, I can be a pretty good guide for that. And so it feels good. Like, that's probably my favorite part, when people access that part of my work.
Yeah. And I know, like you said, this is more of a calling for you. This isn't necessarily like a profession or like a job. But are there any hard parts of your work, anywhere where you get frustrated or parts about it you don't like?
Yeah, no, I can't think of any. I got to be honest. Let me think about that. You know, working as like someone who people come and set up appointments with me, one of the most annoying things is people who do like no shows or something like that. That I find irritating because I feel like, I mean, I can always find something to do with my time, but I mean, that's like really small, but like the overall thing, I'm like trying to come up with something here. I sometimes wish I were better at what I do. Maybe that's like something. I'm always striving to get better at what I do. And so sometimes I realize that I come up against my limitations of understanding. That can be frustrating, but really it's just a call to further engagement. So it's not a bad thing.
There's always more to learn, I feel. So when someone comes to you and you're working with them, and I love hearing how people kind of handle this, but let's say they're either meeting all their goals and they're doing great, or they're not getting out of the work what they want to get out of, or you don't have an answer for someone about something, what would you typically do in that situation?
I mean, all situations are different, but what I encourage people to do is to make sure that they're, you know, what we're doing feels like the right fit for them, and to keep some focus on that throughout the work. Cause I'm not trying to, you know, I want people to get what they're after, you know, like that. So I spent my time, since I moved back down here from Berkeley, I've spent a lot of time building up a network, and I will, if what I'm doing with someone isn't what they need, or it feels like they're not getting what they want from me, I will try to help them find the person who can either help them or to head in the direction that is going to be the most useful for them. I try to send them somewhere where I think someone might actually be a good fit.
Are there any clients that stick out in your head or certain cases that you've seen that have really, like, you'll never forget? Meaning they like came in with something or had a certain goal and they got to it and structural integration kind of completely changed their lives. Any cases like that stick out to you?
What I have seen over and over happen through the process of the 10 sessions is that something unlocks for someone. I'm thinking like, you know, I can just go back to, I was working with someone just last year who just couldn't figure out where the malaise was coming from. Things seemed okay, but by the time we were done with the sessions, she had finally ended this relationship. She had finally taken a new job. She had all these things that she had just sort of imagined were the way that they were, suddenly were able to change. And a lot of that, and she acknowledged this, was about how she was able to be in her body. And this felt to me like this major shift, like she got it. You know, the body and the being are one. And by taking this route of figuring out where the things were locked up tight, incapable of movement, opened up a whole realm of possibilities in her world that were there, but she couldn't access them. They're, you know, like right in front of her. She couldn't do anything about it until something shifted in the body. And what shifted was her relationship to her body. She suddenly was here and not just going through the motions of her world.
That's really cool.
So that felt to me like a smashing success, not for me, but for her. Like she really made use of me for what I'm good for. That felt really good. And that sort of thing is what, that's pretty common in stress. That's like when I know that like it's been successful. The 10 sessions, there's some sort of success. There's like something unlocks, something shifts, like a move happens that hadn't been happening. In my mind, that's the promise of what the 10 sessions are. That's what they're really about. It's about accessing human potential.
That's really cool. Well, because I think sometimes even just my own perception of structural integration and learning about your work, sometimes it seems very like only structural, meaning like thinking about what you look like your posture, your form, things like that. But I think something that I had sort of forgotten about, and even what you just mentioned there, because you're sort of unlocking the fascia, it's also creating this better relationship with your body, but it's also like an emotional release, if you will. Like people hold, maybe you can speak to this because I don't necessarily think I'm very knowledgeable. I don't know which it is, but I know obviously we store and hold emotions. I don't know if it's necessarily in the fascia, in the body, in the muscle. I don't know if you have any knowledge about that, but obviously what your work is doing is releasing some of those emotions or when people get stuck, and it's helping them kind of move forward, which is amazing. I feel like so many people could benefit from that.
Yeah, no, I feel like that's a pretty deep subject. Like there's a lot to it. It's more than just like the pithy way that people talk about it is say the issues are in the tissues. Yeah, while that may be true, I mean, you can see some people come in and they come from a history of abuse and you can literally see their arm like kind of like being held up in space to ward off the blows that are coming. And that's a fascial structure at that point in the body that you can work with to slowly release, but there's much, much, much more to it than that. Like you, so much of that relates to if someone's coming in with trauma, like the presence that you bring to the room has a lot to do with like permitting them safety. That in itself can, allow some things to start unrolling and without, grinding away on people, obviously, or people wouldn't see just talk counselors around this sort of thing. But some of that is embedded in the tissues like a scar. Even just some people can't cry. Learning how to release tears is what some people really get a lot out of through the body work, like having that focus on the body.
That's really cool. With, well, it can be still on the topic of that, or you can take this in another direction, but is there anything else that you want people to know about structural integration or just about the work that you do that they may not have thought of or they don't know about?
That's a good question. I don't even know that very few people even know what structural integration or Rolfing is. It's pretty niche. The reputations, they say that, bad press is good press, essentially. Like it's better than no press at all. Like what Rolfing has a reputation for is being excessively painful. I think that's something that a lot of people who practice this have had to like try to negotiate with on some level. Like you can't. Ida Rolf used a lot of pressure when she worked with people, and she was precise. She's like a laser, and she hurt like a lot. Her hands hurt. Like it was not pleasant to get worked on by her until she took her hands off, and then it felt great. And so a lot of the she achieved pretty amazing results too, and as far as like actually helping people change the structure of their bodies, people were standing upright. Old people, young people. Like she was really good at what she did. She was, but. People don't talk about body workers like this in general, but she is what I would consider a legendary body worker. She was incredibly good at what she did, and she understood it from the inside out because she developed it from all the way back from when she was a research, scientist working at the Rockefeller Institute. Like she had a deep understanding of her work. So people to achieve her results with much less intention and ended up causing a lot of pain to people. As I said, bad press is better than none at all. So Rolfing got this reputation for being really painful. I think, someone who I do work directly and with a significant amount of pressure sometimes, because that's what it, there is something that we're actually doing. We're actually to allow the fascia to change shape. It has to undergo a certain amount of pressure, depending on the thickness of the local region that you're working with. And the history of the samurai rolfer is over. Like people can't get by working like that anymore. You can't just crank on somebody. You have to really work with where their limits are. And I see this not so much as a like that's not a bad thing. I really like that's part of the learning about being in the body. It's like, what does this actually feel like? Does it hurt? Does it not hurt? Is there a way that you can just breathe and suddenly turn this feeling that you're afraid might be painful into just sensation? Like what that's a big part of the somatic part of the body work that I do.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you brought that up because I think that that is kind of a common or can be a misconception. Sure, people could go to rolfers and they might be very aggressive and it might be painful, but I would encourage people because I've seen you and I've seen another structural integration provider who are both very good at what they do, and I was never in pain in any of my sessions, but to achieve the results of like the body fully moving and sort of like moving effortlessly and feeling like I'm just walking through a cloud. Like that's very, you guys are able to achieve those results without, I feel like, using too much pressure. So definitely not something that it's not like it has to be a super painful session. But I also think you're good at reminding your clients to like breathe and getting them through that. So you can get deep in there, but it's also, it doesn't have to be a painful thing. I never experienced that.
Good. I mean, there's some places in the body that are sensitive and direct contact there can hurt. There's some places where people are carrying their own individual painful spots around. And so touching into those areas, that can be painful. what I, you know, when I was first learning, I worked way too hard, just like a lot of people who learn this. I learned from a guy who learned from Ida, who showed me what Ida's touch felt like. And it was a little direct, but what I found over time is so much more happens if I'm really sensitive and understand where that person's boundary is. And I can go right up and work with the boundary rather than trying to make what I want to have happen happen.
Yeah. Well, and I know, so I haven't personally experienced this, but I know some of my patients that go to see you have told me that you do some really cool work, especially like in the nose for like the sinuses and also in the mouth, like in the TMJ area.
Yeah, in the mouth. Yes.
Which is really cool because not all structural integration providers do that sort of internal work, but I have seen, again, I haven't personally experienced it yet, but I've seen the benefits and what people say after having it done. And I'm sure those are definitely sensitive areas. So not that there's never going to be a point of where things are a little, you know, spicy or painful. I'm sure that that exists, but it also can be really beneficial.
I remember when I was first learning this, the first 50 or so times that I did the work in the mouth of the oral work, I actually did it on myself the night before as I was going to bed, just to remind myself of what that felt like. It can be very sensitive in there. But I mean, if you can, it's necessary too. Let me put it like that. The mouth is one of the first part of the body that actually organizes when we're infants. It's our first place of consciousness is the mouth. And so there are some really deep habits in there, some deep structures, if you will. And so allowing those to free up a little bit can be immense. And it's necessary if you want to be able, the head to be able to come upright. If you can imagine it like this, the three fundamental segments of the body, the pelvis, the torso, the head, all have two ball and socket joints. And those ball and socket joints are not necessarily balls and sockets per se, but they all behave sort of similarly and they have appendages attached to them. And for the head, that is the TMJs and the jaw. And so if you can imagine trying to help someone free their pelvis without working with their hips, it's the same with the jaw and the head. You have to get something to open up in there if the head is dragged forward by the jaw and the neck. And I don't know how you would do that without working with the neck.
Sure. I think, just because in my practice, we see a lot of people that have TMJ complaints, and a lot of times it's interconnected with what's going on with their neck. But so many people haven't tried, you know, they've went to TMJ specialist, or it's all about like getting an appliance to make your jaw sit in a certain way. But so many people, I feel like, haven't tried structural integration or like internal work into the TMJ or the mouth that could potentially be really beneficial. Like, I wish more people would know about this and sort of try that before doing all these like appliances and all the things with the TMJ, which I know is a whole nother topic. But anyways, I always encourage people like go get some body work done with the TMJ in the mouth and just the head, everything in general.
Yeah, get it done before you have the TMJ issue. I've worked with a lot of people over the past 2 years in particular that have real issues with the disc, the articular disc at the TMJ. And when you look at the body in terms of its where the fascia runs and how it basically wraps into itself in certain ways, that articular disc is connected directly to the lateral pterygoid, which is something that I spend a lot of time with because it is a major part of how the jaw comes forward. And a lot of people don't really have a good sense of how this joint wants to function. The TMJs, you know, there's not just a translation of the jaw forward, there's a hinging action. These are both happening at the same time. And the pterygoids can basically, over time, start dragging that articular disc forward to the point where the TMJ can't actually function. Like it basically jams up the movement of the jaw. And there's very little that I can do about that directly. Once it has occurred, I can ease the pterygoid back into like some sense of space so that it stops dragging so hard on the articular disc. But I keep thinking when I work with these people, like, I wish I got my hands on you 10 years ago, because that would have prevented this entirely. Like, just getting a little bit of space there some time ago would have kept this disc from being dragged.
Well, and that brings up a great point is like seeking out. I talk to my patients about this all the time, whether it's upper cervical, structural integration, like this is what I personally do. And I wish more people would do this is like when you don't have any health issues and you don't have any pain and you don't have anything, you don't have any big issues, right, yet. Like, these are things that you can be doing proactively right now to avoid these things from coming up. So if you're just looking to honestly optimize your health, stay active so that when you're 80 years old, you can still be running around doing the things that you want, like, these are things that you should be looking into and pursuing, because it can be such a game changer. Instead of waiting, like you said, waiting until there's a disc issue and it's slipped and it's, you know, been like that for 10 years, like, you could see them before that. Like, we could really mitigate some of these issues in the body. So just encouraging people to be proactive.
Yeah, to like preempt aging if you can. There's right. biological age and there's chronological age, and they don't have to be the same thing.
Yeah, that's right, Henry. So I have loved this conversation. I think it was so valuable, and I'm excited for more people to seek out this type of work. Anyone would be so lucky to get to work with you. Can you tell our followers, where can they find you? Like, what's your website? I know you don't do much social media, but how can they connect with you after listening to this?
Okay, so my website is structureinmotion.com. And you can, you know, I give some, you know, there's some writing on there if you want to read up a little bit about me and what structural integration is, or you can just call me or send me an email. Text me. People like texting now. Text me too. But yeah, I mean, that's largely how people hear about me. I mean, that is the only way that you'd find me, really. I don't, unless you bumped into me on the street.
Yeah, well, one day we'll see you on social media, Henry. Just not right now. That's fine.
Well, I do engineering work, like, for part of the week. For like 2 days out of the week, I'm doing engineering things. And then 4 days out of the week, I'm in my office doing structural integration. It just doesn't leave me a lot of time to do the social media thing. But eventually that will change, and I will be more out there.
I will look forward to seeing reels from Henry on Instagram one day.
Right. Whatever it is then. Whatever it's called then.
Yeah, whatever it is then. Well, again, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having this conversation with me. And I look forward to my own next session. And I look forward to my listeners going and connecting with you. So thank you again, Henry.
Awesome. Thank you, Mercedes. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much for joining me today. I hope this information was valuable and that you share it with a friend or family member who is struggling to find answers to their health issues and they want help moving forward with their healing journey. If you want to keep the conversation going, follow me on Instagram at @drmercedescook. To request a consultation to work together, head to uppercervicalsd.com. I appreciate you tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you here next week to dive into the next topic together.